Welcome to Gardening Talk back on 2NUR FM. Greg Richard joined by Judy Sharp with us this afternoon. Good afternoon, Judy.
Oh, hello, Greg. How are you today?
Very well. I don't think I put your ears up before, but we're good to go now, I think.
I'm sure we are.
Judy Sharp, we didn't get through all our topics last week.
No, we didn't. No, we've still got some to deal with, yeah.
But before we get to that, we've also got a bonsai show coming up, I believe.
We have, yeah. Just some quick details. The bonsai show, which is on every year, it's very incredible to go and see, particularly if you like to see the little forests and that they do. So it's on the 8th to the 10th of November, and it's at Club Macquarie at Argentine.
Right, okay. I forgot where Club Macquarie was myself there.
No. It's always on there. That's why I just hesitated to kind of give it a bit of emphasis.
Right.
It's on there every year, so people that are keen to go will have already realised that. So next week I thought we might have a bit of a chat to one of the gentlemen that are involved.
Right, yeah. They're all quite interesting bonsais. Like it's,
oh, yeah.
Especially how they put it all together. But
oh, they're fabulous. It's well worth just going to have a look for interest.
And we've got Colin from Conjiwai, and he's got either a stink bug solution or he needs a solution.
Hello, Colin.
How are you, Judy?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you. Are you giving us a little bit of help with something, are you?
Well, I thought I should do after all the help you've given me over the years. I rang you second last show before the end of the year about my big boxes. I don't know if you recall, big planter boxes I was making.
Oh, yes, I do, Colin, yes. I do keep notes, you know, every week.
Good on you. Anyway, they went to pack over Christmas and I'm still trying to get them right, but that's not the reason for the call today. I've got 12 fruit trees and mostly oranges, and it had an infestation of these little stink beetles.
Right. But
just before I get to that, I was spraying for scale and sooty mould during winter, and the two trees I was spraying on them didn't get any. And also my very healthy young blood red didn't get any stink beetles.
Right. Okay, what's the recipe, Colin?
Well, after spending 5 hours with the vacuum cleaner and getting absolutely nowhere, started doing some experiments, and basically, you get, it's pretty toxic, you get 40 mil of dishwashing liquid.
Now, right, as in washing up your dishes.
Yeah, and it has to be the really dark green one. I found Fairy the most powerful. If you use like the creamy coloured ones now, it doesn't work at all. So you want a dark green. 40 mils to a litre of water, and within minutes, they're falling on the ground.
They don't like it.
No, it kills them stone dead. And like spraying anything, you've got to go again because you missed some. But I actually sent you two photographs. But the last time I sent you photographs, you didn't seem to get them. So just all these stink beetles on the ground. The next morning, the ground was just covered in stink beetles.
Right, okay. Colin, I'm a bit anxious about that.
Why is that, Judy?
Because, you know, that's the one I use to wash the dishes. And every time I open the cupboard to get out my Arthur Boston Terrier, he races over and tries to get it. Oh, wow. Now, I reckon that probably is what will be the answer to the stink bugs.
Yeah.
No, yeah, that's the one I always use in the little green bottle.
Yeah, Fairy, I'm sure the brand.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's very interesting because, you know, at this time of year, people hate the stink bugs, don't they?
Yeah. They really do.
And they are stink bugs. I don't know whether Greg has experienced them. Have you, Greg?
I don't think so, no. Not at the level that's been spoken about.
Nasty. They, if you get their discharge in your eye, not very nice at all.
No, and that's one of the problems, really, with sucking them with the vacuum cleaner. When you start to get to the middle of a really big tree and you've missed a big black one, you end up with it on you.
This is the answer, the green dishwasher.
Yeah, 40 mils.
Yep.
To be accurate, 40 mils per litre.
1 litre.
And obviously, press it up underneath and on top. And I didn't have many black ones, so it wouldn't have been 1% of the real big mature ones, but you had to give them a couple of goes, but they're easy to see anyway, so I don't have any trouble catching those few. And I had been on top of it over the last lot of years, because I find if you do keep on top of it, then you don't get as many. But
as many, no, but they do emigrate, you know, or migrate, whichever way we want to say it, probably from your next-door neighbour who doesn't treat them, but... No, they are a real pest if you're walking just down the street and they're in the street planting, you know, they just, you know, I've seen little children go up to trees thinking there's something interesting, but not at all, eh?
Yeah, no, not at all. And I do have a neighbour that is an elderly lady and she's got some really big overgrown fruit trees, which I assume would be just full of them this year. So
maybe you better go and spray hers, Colin.
Yeah, that could be the thought, couldn't it?
Well, you know, because that fairy isn't very expensive. It's not like buying a chemical, is it?
No, not, well, I was joking when I said it's pretty toxic. It's
I just got worried for a minute about my little doggy, that was all. But I'll just make sure I keep that cupboard door closed, Colin.
Yeah, we'll put it up high somewhere. But it's just quite extraordinary just how many I had missed, especially the little tiny new ones.
Yeah. Oh, Colin, I'm sure that the other listeners today are going to be really charged up with our conversation. So I really appreciate you ringing today because I know that they can be a dreadful problem.
Yeah. And if you want to take the time to look to see if there are photos, I took a few photos of on the ground underneath one of the fruit trees just to show you just all the dead stink bugs.
So did you send them to NURFM?
Yeah, gardening at 2NURFM.
Yeah, that's our email address, gardening at
2NURFM. Oh, it is too, yep. Yeah. Right, okay. Well, we have to check it.
Yeah, I'd sent
that's
some boxes at the end of last year, but you didn't actually receive them, so I don't know if there's a drama there, but if they're not there, maybe check the junk mail or something.
Look, I think I know who's responsible for that. It is someone else in the family, not me. I do everything right, Colin, you know that. But someone else in the family, he, you know, sometimes he does slip up.
Yeah, you're right. So you don't have them there in front of you now?
No, but I know how to get them now.
All right then. Well, you'll prove it in the pudding.
Okay. Thank you, Colin. I really appreciate the call today.
No, you're right. I very much appreciate your program.
Thank you, Cole. Bye.
Judy, with Colin's detergent advice, we've actually had a couple more callers ring up and say, yeah, it's spot on, it works.
Oh, that's fantastic, isn't it? Really, really great. Oh. Yeah, because they are difficult, you know, because when you get them on the tree, you're only spraying their backs. But, okay, you know, I think you need to get it on their tummies too.
Right. Essentially just soak them in it.
Yes, soak them in it. Oh, well, that's wonderful. So... it's good that his
little tip worked.
Yeah, has been confirmed.
Have been confirmed. We've got Margaret now from Cessnock. And Margaret, you got a question about an orange tree.
Yes, I do. Judy, good afternoon.
Hi, Margaret.
I've had a beautiful orange tree for 6 years since I've moved into this home. And only last Wednesday, I fed it on Tuesday, watered it, and the leaves have gone curled up and they're yellow.
Right,
and they're now falling off. Because my gardener said to me, Margaret, what happened to your orange tree? I said, oh, it was fine yesterday. And yes, it just overnight, it's just, you know, just all, it's not green, it's yellow. And I don't know what to do.
Margaret, is it on a fence line?
Yes, it is, but it doesn't touch the fence.
Right, okay.
Behind it. There was just the fence, and the guy next door has built this humongous garage, right? So now it doesn't get the afternoon sun. I don't know whether it's that's done it to in the last 12 months, but it seems to be growing fine, and then all of a sudden it's just done this, and I'm just thinking, what did I do wrong?
Right, okay, so it's only happened just overnight. It hasn't been gradual.
No, I didn't notice it gradual. I only noticed it when the Alan, my gardener, just said to me, no, he said, Margaret, what? He said, what happened to your orange tree? And I looked and I said, it was fine. And I'm thinking, no, it's not fine. It's yellow. And the leaves fallen off. And then we had rain and all the leaves started to come off. So I have fertilised it with Osmocote. Is there any other thing that I should be using on orange tree? And I've got a lemon tree alongside it.
Okay, and the lemon tree is okay, Margaret?
The lemon tree is fine.
Okay. Right, now tell me something. When you put the Osmocote on, has this dropped the leaves since that?
Yes, it did, actually. You might be right.
Okay, now tell me, did you go close to the trunk or out to the drip line?
Out to the drip line.
You did, and you watered the ground first?
No, I actually put it on first, then I watered. Am I supposed to water first?
You've got to water first.
Okay, right, okay.
Now, I think that's probably the solution, but it should come good, Margaret, but I'd be tending to go out and keep pumping the water into it.
Okay, right, good. Yep,
but no, you always, they're very tetchy and you always need to water first and you never go close to the trunk, which a lot of people do.
Okay.
But you haven't done that, so I'm guessing now, it is a guess that perhaps you should have watered first.
But also, is there any other thing that I can use, like cow manure or horse manure?
No, not cow manure, you use poultry.
Poultry, okay. Right.
Yeah, poultry and... So the Osmocote, was that citrus fertiliser?
Yes, for both of the trees. I do it for both the trees.
Right, okay.
In that green container from that store.
Right, okay. Look, that's all right.
I'm not going to say the store.
Look, no, that's all right. No, no, no. We all have a place in life, don't we? So
We do.
That's we do.
Right.
Look, I think let's now go to the poultry manure.
Right.
Water the ground first, but look... Margaret, I'm thinking we should wait a week or so.
Okay, okay.
You know, because it's probably been burnt. I'd just try and pump the water into it and see if you get some new shoots and then we'll consider the poultry manure down the track a bit.
Okay, so leave it a week then.
Leave it a week, yeah, definitely.
Okay, because at the top of the tree I can see, and I'm not tall, I'm only 5 foot two, I can see lots of green, long things coming. They're there. They're not dead, though.
Right, okay, so that will probably shoot. So, yeah, I think just water now and keep your fingers crossed, Margaret. But, look, citrus, a lot of people do silly things when they're in pots and you can't fertilise them with... poultry manure or anything like that in pots because they will get burnt.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I always suggest that you use around pots, and I'm saying this for anyone else's benefit that's listening at the moment, around pots always use a product called Sudden Impact for roses.
Right.
And it works very, very well in citrus on pots. So now I'm going to that train of thought now, Margaret, thinking maybe... if we do anything, we might give them Sudden Impact for roses or orange, which is slow release. So can the poultry manure at the moment. And when you think you're starting to get new shoots, then we might hit it with Sudden Impact.
Yeah, because it did have the flowers and, and it's got little tiny oranges, like little green ones. And there you can see that it all died off. All those flowers went, same thing, and it looks like the little oranges. And it's been the best orange tree ever. Even my neighbours and people that I've given the oranges to, my brother, they said, Margaret, these, and because I don't use anything other than, and I did have the stink bugs last year.
Right. Now, you know what it is, Margaret, don't you?
No, what is it?
It is the cold in Cessnock. Oranges love cold weather, winter weather.
Yeah, and this weather's been weird because we've had hot days, cold days, and it probably doesn't know what it's doing.
Probably not. I don't think I know what I'm doing. Greg, are you laughing? Yeah, Margaret is laughing at me.
Is he laughing at you? You're not supposed to laugh at her, Greg.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, Margaret, look, I hope that's helped you, and... please ring us back and let us know in a couple of weeks, will you?
I will. So I just water, and don't do anything yet.
That's exactly right.
Thank you, Judy. You're very, very, Yeah, very kind of you. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye. Okay.
Good night. Goodbye.
Thanks, Margaret. We've got Greg now from Wall's End, and he's got a question about pennywort.
Oh, Greg, that's nasty stuff.
That's very hard to get rid of.
Oh, it surely is, yes. What have you tried so far?
I've tried a few different things. The last one was that weed and feed, but it doesn't do anything. If you get any of the other weed killers, kills everything in the spot. That's right through the lawn, and I just wonder how I can best control it, if anything.
Okay, Greg, what kind of lawn grass have you got?
Buffalo.
Buffalo, okay. Well, you know you've got a little bit of a difficult one there, don't you?
Oh, yes.
Yes, so you can't use a lot of the chemicals. Have you tried using Bindi?
No, I haven't tried that on it.
No, okay. Look, I think how long since you've actually tried to kill it?
This time last year, just got sick of it. Just cut
right,
it with the
okay.
mower.
So the lawn hasn't been treated very harshly at the moment. So
I think no.
Bindi is the way to go. The lawn has to be long and you need at least 6 hours of sun.
Oh, yeah. All right.
So Bindi. I'd give that a go and just see if you can beat it. Look, it might take a couple of goes, but, you know, I've got my fingers crossed here underneath the table, making sure it's going to work for you. But I think it will, but buffalo can always be a little bit of a problem.
Yeah, all right. I know Bindi is good on everything else I've used it on, so
yeah.
I'll give it a go.
Yeah, definitely. Right. Okay, Greg, good luck with that.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
bye.
And we've got Tiny from Singleton. He's also got a question about stink bugs.
Stink beetles on citrus. I had a plague of them last year. End up with very orange fingers. Is there another way of doing it, please?
Sorry, what was that again?
Stink beetles on citrus, like the orange and lemon tree and whatever, right? I had a plague of them last year. They did a lot of damage. They're starting to come back now. What can I use to give them the hint not to be there?
Oh, right, OK. So were you listening a little bit earlier?
No, I wasn't. I was out getting me washing off the line.
As you do. What do you think it's going to rain, do you?
No, I work shift work and I was a bit crook last night, so I'm supposed to be at work today, but... I just turned on the... Well, I was making me bed and I thought, I'll give you a ring.
Okay, fine. Look, we've had a wonderful advice from Colin, a gentleman called Colin. He uses Fairy dishwasher detergent, and it's the green one, and he puts 40 milligrams into 1 litre of water.
Okay.
And I've also had another caller has rang in and said that he confirms that that does work.
The Fairy dishwasher, I'll go and get some.
Fairy dishwasher, but at the time, Tiny, we were talking about the fact that I buy green too. So it has to be the green one for some reason.
Right, I shall do that.
Okay, good luck.
They're just starting to come back now and I've got orange stains on my fingers already.
No, go right away and get it straight away. And he claims, and I believe so many other people have called in and said it definitely works.
The green one, right? Okay, yep. I shall go and get some. Thank you for your advice.
Okay, you're welcome.
And keep up the great work.
Oh, thank you very much, Tiny. Thank you for the call.
I keep smiling, you know, then they don't know what you're thinking.
I like that.
Cheers, Tony. Thank you. It's Gardening Talkback on 2NURFM. If you've got a question for Judy Sharp, you can give us a call on 49216216. Now, we didn't get to talk about this last week, Judy, but you want to look at gardenias for a little bit?
Yeah, we need to. I've noticed mine, and mine looked a bit unhappy yesterday. I have to confess, they've actually got a bit of sooty mould on them and a bit of scale. I'm not happy with me.
Oh.
I shouldn't have that in my garden, should
no.
I? No. But anyway, why I thought we should talk about them was, if you've got that, of course, we've got to deal with something else. But the little buds are starting to form, Greg, and I found mine were struggling, perhaps because of the sooty mould and the scale. But it is a good time to fertilise gardenias now with cow manure. They love it.
Really?
Yeah, they absolutely love it. It's the iron in it.
Yep, okay.
They really love iron, and that keeps them nice and green and produces lovely flowers. But keep in mind that if you have one growing in a pot, you wouldn't use the cow manure.
Okay.
We've always got to find an alternative in a pot.
Exactly. Well, you don't use manure in pots, do you?
No. Look, it's a bit of a risk. You know, a lot of people might ring up and say, oh, look, we do this and we do that. But I generally find to use one of the Flourish's works because Flourish make all different fertilisers for different plants. And I have it in my garage and I really use it regularly. But you can get one that is for gardenias and camellias.
All right, so that's probably the best bet then.
Yeah, well, you're watering it on, so you're not burning the plant. Yeah.
All right, yeah. And we've got Jeff from Macquarie Hills, and people must have stink bugs all around today.
Oh, they're coming out. See, they're just hatching, Greg.
Right, okay.
Little nasty little creatures.
Well, Jeff might have some more stink bug advice for us.
Okay, Jeff, thank you.
It's not about stink bugs, unfortunately, but I was just thinking about the time of the year everybody's putting their tomatoes in, and there's nothing worse than getting the getting those holes punched in it by a nasty little, I won't say it. But my father-in-law got me onto I used to think it was an old wives' tale, but if you, Judy, being around about the age I am.
Oh, that sounds like about 50, Jeff. 50?
Sunlight soap, the old yellow sunlight soap.
Oh, right, yeah.
The best thing for keeping the bugs off and being sort of good for the environment as well, just shave a cake of sunlight soap into a hot bucket of water and dissolve it. Make sure it's all dissolved. And then when it cools right off and it's cold, you just spray those on your tomatoes. And if you're unlucky enough to get raining overnight, don't worry about it. You just spray them the next day. And the caustic, in the soap, and I can still remember, it was horrid. and it used to, it just keeps all the bugs off, and I guarantee you won't get any holes or anything in your tomatoes.
Right, okay, so we're talking about fruit fly, are we?
Yes.
Right, okay, nasty things,
I thought, well, everybody's got, every man and his dog's got tomatoes in at present. And our son's a horticulturalist and he hasn't too heard the idea, so it must work.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Well, we'll pass that on today and we're always looking for, alternative advice because, you know, so many things are difficult to buy now, aren't they, in today's world? So
that's right.
Yep,
and when you do pick a fruit, it's just simply rinse them under water and the soap's gone.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Jeff. That's a very smart idea. I appreciate the call. Thank you.
Problems. Bye.
Bye.
We've got Karen now from Rutherford, and speaking of tomatoes, she's got a question about tomatoes.
Hi, Karen. Have you got problems with a fruit fly already or...?
No, I don't. I was just wondering what's the best fertiliser for tomatoes and strawberries?
Right, okay. Are they in the ground or in pots?
No, they're in the ground.
They're in the ground. Look, at this point in time, I'd be definitely giving them a bit of cow manure.
Oh, cow manure.
Yeah, so you need to really put that in before you plant. So now, you know, you'll have to give it a very light dusting of it.
Yeah, well, sorry, truck went past. At the moment, I've got them growing in, like, mushroom compost.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
And they seem very happy.
Well, don't change it.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure if there's anything else I should give them.
Well,
or...
sure, look, you can get Flourish for fruiting. It's called Flourish and it's for fruiting and you water that in every week. So that's a very simple way to attack it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and same with the strawberries?
Yes, yeah, definitely. It's called Flourish for fruiting and it's for anything that's going to fruit.
Yeah, because I've had strawberries all winter at the moment and now they're just starting to go mental. Like,
Like we all do, Karen. Like we all do. Look, yep. I'm sure that's going to work for you, dear. Just hunt up some flourish for fruity.
Yeah, flourish for fruity.
Yep. Okay. Thanks, Karen, for the call.
Thanks, Karen. We've got Louise now from Glendale, and she's got a miniature fruit tree in a pot.
Oh, hi, Louise.
Oh, hi, Judy. I've got a miniature nectarine and peach tree. It's over 5 years old. I had one crop and nothing since.
Right, okay. So
it's
in a pot.
Green leaves. I keep watering it. And it's all green and everything, but nothing's happening.
Okay, so have we fertilised it?
Yes.
Oh, you have. Okay, what did you use?
Oh, I don't know. I think I had something in the shed. it was a fruit sort of thing. But I get all the flowers come on, and then when the wind comes, it blows them all off.
Right, okay. Well, you obviously need to give them a little bit of extra help. And
right.
I was just telling our last listener that you cannot go past flourish for fruiting. Now, that's you mix it up and you water it on every week. And I'm sure that will help you growing your miniature fruit tree in a pot.
Would it be pot-bound, do you think? Because it's been in the same tub for over 4 years.
Oh, well, it could be. But if it's a miniature, are you pruning it at all?
Well, when it looks scraggly, I do.
Okay.
And the same thing is happening with the orange tree. That's a miniature one. And I've got all the tiny little green things. With the fruit, but they don't eventuate to anything as well.
Right, okay. Now, I think you need to give that extra fertilising. But the other thing, Louise, anything in a pot, don't rely on the weather.
Right.
Because often we get windy days, and even though it's not hot, the wind dries them out in a pot. So perhaps you need to water a little bit more often.
I generally water every second day.
Okay, well, maybe up it to every day.
Yes, yes.
I'm not being critical, but
No.
Look, it's my experience. I've nearly lost a big conifer in a pot because I wasn't watering it.
I paid a bit of money for them. And,
no, you don't want to lose them, do you?
I don't want to lose them.
No.
I just thought they might have been pot-bound or something I'm not doing right.
Well, okay, I think if they are big in the pot, well, then it does require water more often.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're quite welcome, Louise.
Okay, bye now.
Bye.
And quickly got time for Russell from Anna Bay. He's got a question about grevilleas.
Oh, hello, Russell. What can I help you with?
Yes, Judy, how are you?
I'm very well. And yourself?
Good, thank you. I had four grevilleas out the front. I pruned them all right back just on winter time till sort of just to the bare sticks because I had that white scale on them.
Right.
I sprayed them all till that died. Then I gave them some fertiliser. They all started to have new shoots come up, which would look really healthy. But all of a sudden, one of them has just, all the new shoots has just completely died on me.
Right. Okay, Russell, look, we are going to run out of time, so I'll tell you this very quickly. I'm sorry. I would suspect you might have cockchafers underneath there in your roots. You know, they're the white witchetty grubs.
Yep.
If the others are all right and one's just suddenly died, dig around because if that's what you've got, they will go to the other plants.
Okay. And what do I use to get rid of them if I find them?
Carbaryl. Old-fashioned carbaryl.
Carbaryl?
Yeah, carbaryl.
All right.
Okay. How do you spell that, sorry?
With a C, A-R-B-A-R-Y-L.
Oh, okay, lovely.
Okay.
All right, I'll have a dig around with those and I'll see if I can find them.
Okay,
right.
Thank you, Russell.
Cheers, Russell. Thank you very much. That's all for us, Judy Sharp. We'll catch you next week.
Yeah, I think so.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.